White Coolies, a true story of Australian women at war, adapted from the diary written in a Japanese prison camp by Sister Betty Jeffrey. Dedicated to those nurses who did not return. Sister Davis.
Missing.
Sister Hempstead.
Missing.
Sister Gardam.
Missing.
Sister Raymond.
Missing.
Sister Jeffrey.
Here. All the Australian sisters have decided to live in this one house, we find it much more comfortable. We were sorry to lose Mrs. Leyland, but she had to go to hospital in Palembang anyway, so we moved her belongings for her to the house next door. We were told she is very ill and will be away for some time. For quite a while now at Tenko, the guard has been suddenly yanking one or the other of us out of line and slapping us for no reason. It has puzzled us, but we put it down to the natural Jap cussedness. But we've just found out it's more than that.
In a camp in Sumatra, an army nurse at sea.
Oh, hello, Blanchie. Just came in to get my eating bowl. I believe we're to be allowed to go out to the guardhouse for water. And, hey, Blanchie, what's the matter?
Oh, this wretched earache, Jenny. I've had it for ages on and off, but it's getting a bit grim lately.
Oh, dear. There's not a thing we can do about it. If only they'd give us some medical supplies.
I think this is from my teeth. I've lost two or three fillings, and of course, when I was hauled out of line this morning for a slap in the face, the swine caught me right across the ear and jaw.
Hi, kids. Where's everyone?
Oh, hello, Jeff. Only Blanchie and I are in here.
Well, where are the others?
They've all gone down to get water. Why?
I have something to tell you that will... Hey, what's up, Blanchie?
Oh, her ear's giving her fits.
Oh, isn't that rotten, Blanchie? But look, if you can listen with your good ear, I will tell you a story that will cheer you up.
Oh? I'll listen with both of them if it's cheery. Carry on.
Well, you know the Javanese guard that Shorty calls Fifth Columnist, Jenny?
The one with the sunglasses, yes.
Well, he's turned out trumps. Mrs. Brookhouse has just told Jean Ashton the most incredible story. He used to be her gardener before the war, and he came to her yesterday and told her what had been happening.
Oh, you, Parisi. Oh, come here.
Yes, Twan?
Oh, you read Dutchie?
Yes, Twan.
This letter has been left in guardhouse by your Asian woman who is our friend in the camp. She has written in Dutchie. I cannot read. Having glasses. You will read it to me?
It says, Tuan, people in camp are complaining that rubbish has not been removed often enough.
That is all?
Yes, Tuan.
Oh, so. I thought it to be more important. We need not bother with it. Leave it on the table and you stay here while I do the rounds.
Yes, Twan.
You're there. Got those grains green and right up the rabbit.
Reverend Brookhouse, can I speak with you?
Yes. What is it?
It is a letter that was left in the guardhouse, and I was to translate it to Japanese. It is in Dutch.
Did you translate it?
not very well, Mavra.
Why not? You speak Dutch very well. Least you did when you were mein Gartner.
It is not good to tell Japanese what is in this letter.
What is in it?
I have it here. I will read it to you. I think it would be a good thing for you to suggest to the commanding officer of this camp that he remove the Australian Army nursing sisters, of which there are 32, to the paddy fields. They would be good laborers for the Astron. That is all, Mavra.
What did you tell the guard that it said?
I said it was a complaint about the Ramestad.
You have done well. Now, can you give me this letter? I will take it to the Australian sisters. They can do what they like with it.
I was told to put it on the table in the guard shelter. And there, Mavra, there might be a little wind that would carry so flimsy a piece of paper away.
As long as it make no trouble for you. Look, now go. We must not be seen talk together.
Yes, Mavra, thank you.
And here's the letter she gave to Jean.
Well, I'm darned.
I would say that this dear little Eurasian witch is responsible for a lot of the bashings we get at Tenko.
I bet she is. What happened when the Jap found the letter missing?
Oh, that's the best part of it. The Javanese fellow spent quite some time helping the Jap search for the letter in the guardhouse, with the Jap blaming himself for his carelessness.
Oh, you're better than a doctor, Jap. My earache is so much better.
Oh, it's not me. It's hearing something pleasant for a change.
Well, we better go if we want to get any water.
All righto. A few days later, there was great excitement when the best thing that had happened to us since we were taken prisoner occurred. It was during siesta.
Three spades, three no trumps.
Righto, you get them.
Mitty? You there, Mitty?
Oh, yes, Jenny.
Look, there's a Japanese officer in House 14 who wants to speak to you.
In House 14?
Yes, you know, where Mrs. Muller lives.
Any idea what it's all about?
No. But he's with Mrs. Muller because she's the only person in the camp who can speak Japanese.
Oh, I'd better go at once.
No, Law. I wonder what that's all about.
You can bet your socks it's something unpleasant.
They're probably going to make us go out and nurse Japs.
Over my dead body?
Well, we'll just have to wait and see. Come on, let's finish this game. Here she comes, kids. Here comes Mitzi now.
Oh, my word, it's hot.
What happened, Mitz? What do they want?
Well, there was an officer who seemed most interested in the Australian sisters.
Yeah?
He kept calling us something that sounded like kankafoo. Apparently it's Japanese for nurse.
Kankafoo, indeed. A bit too much like our kangaroo, isn't it?
Oh, shut up, Blanche. Go on, Mitz.
Well, it all boiled down to this. He wants a full list of our names to send home to Australia.
Huh? What? You mean we've been prisoners for a year and they haven't informed our families?
The devils.
Heaven knows we filled in at least 20 lists of our names, addresses, age, religion, sexes, etc., etc., etc. What's happened to all those?
Haven't you ever noticed, Jenny? There's always a small bonfire outside the Jap guardhouse every night those lists have been sent in.
Anyway, he's coming to tomorrow to inspect us and our quarters. He seems quite concerned about the kankafoos, so perhaps this time something might be done for him.
He did come next day, and he came to see our house. He seemed to be thoroughly disgusted with our mattresses of grass, the worn, thin rice sacks, and the torn sarongs that we slept on. He appeared to be genuinely shocked when he heard we had no sugar, milk, soap, or any decent quantity of paper, sanitary paper, butter, beds, mosquito nets, and so on. And he was amazed that we had to buy what little fruit we had. He made a note in his book and promised that things would be improved for us. He also said that we'd receive parcels and would be allowed to write one letter of 30 words home. If only we could. All this was said through Mrs. Muller, and then he spoke to each one of us in the only couple of words of English he knew.
Australia been drowned?
Well, no.
Oh, yes. This Oscar drowned?
Well, what's it matter?
Yes.
Oh, so, this Oscar drowned?
Well, frankly, no.
Oh, so,
What on earth does he mean? Are we drowned?
I think he means shipwrecked.
Oh, poor little man. He's getting some odd answers. I wonder if he will really do anything for us.
The best thing would be if he could really arrange for us to write home.
Oh, we'd better not build on it. It'll probably turn out like all the other promises. Just so much hot air.
Oh, that's better. I had quite a good shower.
Good heavens. How'd you manage that?
I found a leak in the gutter at the corner of the house and the rain's pouring down and quite a heavy stream through it. Only we had some soap, it'd be most refreshing.
Oh, is there a queue, Mitz?
Well, not much of a one.
Then I will go and take the shower. Hello, Mitz. Heard the latest rumours?
Oh, hundreds of them. They're in full force again since the little canker-foo visited us.
There's another move in the air. The only thing is we can't pin them down to where we're supposed to move to.
So far I've heard it's to the jail, the lunatic asylum for the Australians.
Oh, that'll be nice. If we're here much longer, we'll be just about ready for the bug house.
Juliana Flats.
Wherever that may be. Mm-hmm.
One huge building, a sort of hotel for the whole camp.
Mm-hmm.
Or the hill station at La Hart.
Oh,
100 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and the best of all.
Yes?
Australia.
I'm terribly sorry, but I'm afraid I can't believe that one.
I'm with you all the way.
Hey, what are you two gabbing about?
Oh, hello, Jeff. We're counting out the places that, according to rumor, mind you, we'll probably be moving to.
Uh-huh. And there's 6, according to rumor, altogether.
And there's also an order out that we may take all our belongings, but not any pianos or refrigerators.
Refrigerators, forsooth. Did you ever hear such nonsense?
Oh, wouldn't it be lovely, though, to have a refrigerator?
Why? There's nothing to put in it.
If it were one of those big ones, I'd put me in it. I don't think I'll ever feel cool again.
Although we didn't believe any of these wild stories, we sorted out stuff so as to be ready. Flo Trotter found the remains of a tin of paint and put AANS on everything she could lay her hands on. Just in case. Rumors, it is now February and we are still here. Some of us are now earning our own living within the camp, so we can buy a little sugar and fruit from Goleng and perhaps save enough money to buy a little material from Milwani to make night attire. Some amazing talents have come to light.
Well, I don't know what I can do to make money. All the obvious jobs seem to have gone.
The wood chopping crew take their life in their hands. That darned old axe keeps flying off the handle.
They get good money for it, though. Dell and Blanche have nearly finished their mahjong set.
Well, Viv and Wilma Oram are doing a roaring trade in mending shoes and trumpers. You know, those native shoe things?
I suppose I could do washing and mind children for the Dutch.
Hmm, that's an idea, Pat. Yeah. I've been thinking about taking on some extra cooking.
Hey, Jeff! Hey, Jeff, come out of that old diary of yours and help us decide what we can do to earn a bit of cash.
Well, I've fixed myself up. Huh? I am now the camp barber.
What? Can you cut hair, Jeff?
I don't know. I'm going to try.
Hmm. Who's the poor unfortunate to be your first victim?
Uh-oh. Well, now you mention it, Sister Gunter, you look as if you could do with a trim.
Oh, no, you don't. Anyway, what are you going to use for scissors?
Scissors?
Well, that's original.
But we haven't got any. Mrs. Brookhouse has lent me a pair to practice with on you girls. And then I'll set up business and charge 10 cents a trim. People are providing their own scissors.
Oh, well, I'll be the goat. You can have a go at me.
Oh, really, Woody? Well, wait a bit till I get the implements.
We'll do it right now. I always knew I was cut out to be a heroine. Oh, for Pete's sake, Jeff, you're not going to use those, are you? They're curved nail scissors.
Well, I'll probably invent a new hairstyle with these.
Oh.
You never know, you might set the fashion. Now, let's see.
Oh, for mercy's sake, don't cut it too short.
Mm. How's it going? Ah, there.
Oh, Jeff, look what you've done. Now you'll have to cut it all that length.
Oh, well, no. It will be much cooler short. Now just sit still, Woody, and put yourself entirely in my hands. I became quite a good barber, inventing some very neat hairstyles, usually governed by an accidental slip of the scissors. The little boys with their short hair I found the hardest to do. One day, somebody found an old calendar with a picture of Mr. Winston Churchill giving the Victory V sign. We hung it up with great ceremony, but unfortunately a Jap guard spotted it, tore it off the wall, and ruined it. So now we have to keep a strict check on the day and date of the week, even if every day is the same. There's only one watch left in the camp that still goes, and it belongs to Jess Doyle. All hours of the day and night, people are saying, "Could you tell us the time, please, Jess?" And no matter what she's doing, she answers at once, even if it happens 3 times in 5 minutes. I don't know why we worry about time, but I suppose it's just one of the survivals of civilized life. At the moment, sewing scraps together to make something is the order of the day.
What are you making, Pat?
I don't know whether it's going to be a pillowcase or a blouse.
What's the use of making a pillowcase? We haven't got any pillows.
Don't you know about the kapok tree?
No, what a word about it.
Hurry up with the needle. We've got a roster for it now, you know.
Won't be long, Ioli.
Hey, Pat, now tell me, what's this about kapok?
Well, Jeff found it. There's a tree just a few yards outside the barbed wire. It's a kapok tree. Yeah. It splits its pods and the kapok falls to the ground. Jeff asked if we could go out and get it, but of course we weren't allowed.
Oh.
So she pulls it through the barbed wire with a stick.
What a wonderful idea. Is there enough to make pillows for all of us?
Oh, not all at once, but Jeff has made hers mainly to hide her diary in.
Oh, well,
that's that. Ioli, you can have the needle now.
Oh, thanks, Pat. Jeff, come on.
Yes, what is it?
We can get to work on our mosquito net now.
Oh.
Oh, is that what that conglomeration of bits and pieces is?
Excuse me, it is not a conglomeration. It's going to be a proper full-sized mosquito net.
What's this black bit, Ioli?
Oh, that's the back half of an evening skirt. Well. It was only big enough to put over my head. But now Wynne has given us an old sarong, and I found another old skirt in the rubbish heap. It's good, it's a bit of net.
And I have contributed the remains of my voile frock. You know, Miss Livingston.
We'll end up with a very colourful and large net, which we can both get under, and get some peace from these endless mosquitoes.
It will hang from anything hangable within reach of our particular area of floor.
Such a magnificent arrangement should have a name. Patches or something like that.
Oh, no. Nothing so ordinary as patches. It needs a name like Rule Britannia. Huh.
Rule Britannia it is.
You know, we're getting such an assortment of these odd nets that anybody trying to walk through the room after 9 p.m. is likely to strangle themselves.
Oh, Lordy, it must look funny. All of us lying on the floor, shoulder to shoulder, covered by these monstrous hanging drapes.
Oh, it's dreadful.
Listen, kids, our toothbrush troubles have really caught up with us at last.
Hello, Trot.
What's the matter with the toothbrush?
Well, we're down to one, as you know. And as I was washing it just now and putting it in the sun to dry it, sort of came apart in my hand.
Oh, dear. Now we will be in trouble.
I don't think it'll make much difference. Most of us have lost our fillings as it is, and a couple of the girls, Blanche in particular, has had a lot of toothache.
Yes, but is that from lack of toothbrush or from too much face bash?
My teeth are almost too sore to clean these days.
We'll all go home toothless and white-haired if the Russians don't come soon.
The Russians?
Russians?
What on earth are you talking about?
Well, for some extraordinary reason, rumor now hath it that the Russians are on their way.
What?
Well, how on earth did that story start?
Oh, I don't know. Unless it's because of Misha. You know, the little Russian boy who lost his parents on the Vina Brook.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't speak very good English.
Oh, what on earth has Misha got to do with it?
Well, every time the ration truck comes in, he tears out to the roadway and calls, Zeroshans, Zeroshans, Zeroshans.
Hello, kids.
Oh, hey, the rations have been cut again.
Oh, they can't be cut much more, Mitch, without being cut out.
Well, today we were given 6 baby cucumbers, soft and oozing, 6 bunches of Kang Kong, and 4 soft Bringles for the 32 of us.
Oh, we're going to be hungry again tonight, then.
I'm getting quite used to being hungry.
Oh, and there's a house captain's meeting to be held tonight.
Yeah?
It's been specially called.
Oh, what's it all about, Mitz?
I don't know.
Well, you hurry along to it and tell us everything.
Well, don't be silly. It's not till tonight. Oh, I better go and put the rations away.
Ioli and I finished our mosquito net and hung it in great triumph. Just as we were all settled down for the night, in came Mitz from her meeting, giggling like mad.
Oh. Is anyone awake?
With the noise you're making, Mitz,
I expect we all...
Oh, what is the matter with you?
Without a doubt, that's the funniest meeting I've ever attended. What do you think the subject was? What's to be done with the bitch in House One?
What?
She's going to have puppies.
Oh, the dog.
And the funny part is, they're all so deadly serious.
Well, what are they going to do?
Nothing. Just leave her where she is.
Oh, the poor little pup.
I know. I don't see how she can possibly feed the puppies. Her little sides flap together and her ribs are nearly through her skin.
Oh, I know. And poor old Shorty's having a terrible time trying to feed Toby. Mm-hmm. Not to mention the terrible time we're having trying to feed us.
Oh, well, anyway, kids.
Good night. Good night.
Good night.
March 13th. Red letter day. At last the POW postcards have actually been given to us to write to any part of the world.
One at a time. One card each. You can write in English, Malay, or Dutch. You cannot say you're hungry, that you have no beds. You must say you are well treated and your condition's good. If you say otherwise, you will be punished, and the card not sent.
Well, that doesn't leave much that we can truthfully say, does it?
Or even to be allowed to say we're alive is something.
Yeah.
As long as my family gets my own signature, I'll be happy.
Yeah, me too.
You report back here with the cards at 1700 hours, and you will be given an anti-dysenteric injection.
Good grief, what's bitten the Japs?
Lord knows, Ioli. It's about time they did something. We're beginning to get typhoid in the camp now. Dr. McDowell told me yesterday there's one case of virus.
Oh.
Typhus, I mean, love, typhus.
Typhus? Mm. Gosh, it'll spread like wildfire.
Well, it's all very hush-hush. If the civvies cotton on, there'll be a wild panic.
Oh, Jake, if it gets a hold, I don't see how it can be kept quiet.
Well, Dr. McDowell has told us all to go on duty, full time.
Oh, well, no peace for the wicked, dear.
You want cards? You want cards, or you'd rather talk?
Oh, well, of course we want them. Come on, Jeff. We nearly missed the bus.
The sickness is spreading rapidly, particularly among the children. And we are kept working flat out for long hours. We've all decided to be drooping lilies when we get out of here. We're learning fast from observation. How I hate this foul hole. It's terribly hot, and the water is still turned off. We'd give anything to know what's going on in the world outside barbed wire. Today, as a diet for desperately ill people, we were given one bunch of leeks for the entire camp. Whenever will the day of freedom come?
Listen again for a further episode of this true story of Australian women at war. White Coolies is based on the diary written secretly in a Japanese prison camp by Sister Betty Jeffrey, especially adapted for radio by Gwen Friend, and produced by Fifi Banvard for Australasian Radio Productions.